Last week, I talked about a rhythm of spiritual growth, and I mentioned four stages: awakening, purgation, illumination, and union. Now, that terminology comes from Robert Mulholland's book, Invitation to a Journey, which I highly recommend, by the way. But I want to take a closer look at each of those stages of spiritual growth, starting with, of course, awakening. Now, what do I mean when I say awakening? Simply put, it's an encounter with the living God and an encounter with ourselves. Now, that's the definition that Mulholland gives, too, for awakening. But spiritual awakenings are a tremendous, well, they're where our spiritual journey begins, first of all. They can be gradual, but they can also be radical. In fact, I would say that our church culture tends to glorify radical spiritual awakenings and elevate them. And when I say glorify them, what I mean is they're the testimonies you hear about in church. The young man who is on drugs until he's 25 and suddenly has a spiritual experience and stops using drugs and comes to Jesus, and we celebrate it. And we have the testimonial videos, and everybody talks about what a radical, awesome thing that God did. And we get those stories, and those stories are true, and those stories are powerful. And that's one of the reasons we look at them and go, look at what God did, where it seemed impossible. Now it's possible. It's awesome. But we elevate them almost to the point where some of us who have never had an experience like that can feel spiritually jealous, or misunderstand that what's wrong with them. Like, why haven't I had an experience like that? Or my story is not that radical. Those of us that grow up in the church and have always known Jesus and always gone to church and just been a Christian for as long as we can remember can sometimes look at that radical change and go, why didn't God do something like that in my life? Or why doesn't God, I must not be spiritual enough. But awakenings can be gradual, over time, continuous experiences with God where we wake up and look back and go, wow, God was in this moment, God was in that moment, God was in this little conversation, God was in this little part of my experience, and I see Him in a totally different way than I did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Incremental steps over time. Little awakening after little awakening after little awakening after little awakening. Because God has just always been there at work in your life. Now, I mentioned that there's two parts. The first one is an encounter with God. An encounter with God that allows us to rightly see ourselves. So we go on a spiritual retreat, if it's a radical one, we go on a retreat and the music is just right and the preacher says just the right thing and our hearts respond. The way John Wesley said, his heart was strangely warmed when he had his conversion experience. We have this amazing thing where it's like, oh my goodness. And as soon as we encounter God that way, we start to see everything else in a totally different light. And so we might encounter Him first, and it's like the light has been turned on. C.S. Lewis is famous for putting it this way. He says, I believe in the gospel as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because I see through it, I see everything else. The sun comes up, a new day starts, and we awake and we start our day, and it's by sunlight that we see everything else. And for Lewis, it was like, I believe in the gospel the same way. Because of God's work in my heart, because of the gospel in my life, I see everything else the way it ought to be. So there's plenty of spiritual encounters in Scripture. Jacob, laying in the desert, wakes up the next morning and says, God was in this place and I didn't even know it. Moses walks past the burning bush and stops and goes over and like to check it out and sees that the bush is not even burning up, And you have to ask to kind of wonder, how long has he been walking by all of that holy, that where God has been, how long has the bush been burning? How long had the bush been burning before Moses noticed it and became aware of it? The people who walk on the road to Emmaus with Jesus don't realize it's Jesus until he breaks bread with them. And so there's all kinds of encounters with God where awareness changes and shifts in Scripture. Isaiah 6, the prophet Isaiah has this experience. He says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty. And the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him, and each had six wings. Two covered their faces, two their feet, and two with which they flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And so when Isaiah has this vision, this spiritual encounter, this moment of awakening with the presence of God, his reaction is, look at me. I'm not worthy to be in his presence. I'm not this person. I'm not worthy of being in the presence of the Lord of hosts. What am I going to do? And the rest of the story is the angels actually apply coal to his lips and say that his sins have been forgiven. It's a wild story in the Old Testament. But when he experiences God's presence, he looks up and says, whoa, I'm not the right person. I'm not right. I'm not set right. And so our encounters with God help us to rightly see ourselves. And a lot of times that's how it works. But sometimes it works because we get to the end of our rope ourselves. We finally see who we are and become aware of ourselves not being where we need to be. We're at the end of our absolute rope. And we start looking for answers. And then we encounter God in searching for those answers. So there's this initial awakening when you become a follower of Jesus and the Holy Spirit prompts your heart and you respond with grace and to God's grace and say, I want to follow you, and it's awesome. Maybe it's gradual, maybe it's radical, maybe you're one of those radical stories, but then there are these moments of awakening that happen all along our spiritual journey. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I should be more gentle with my wife. Maybe I should be more loving to my coworker. Maybe I should be more generous. These spiritual checkboxes along the way are all moments where an experience with God, an experience with his Spirit, and his Spirit says, wake up. This is something that needs to change. And then we start that process of change. Now, on one hand, it's comforting to know that we experience God that way. It's comforting to know that we can experience God in this life and on our spiritual journey. In fact, we long for it, we want it, we're looking for it, and it is comforting to know that he is there. When we are in our darkest moments, most challenging moments, most desperate moments, it actually comforts our soul to know that God is with us. But on the other hand, it's like Isaiah. It reveals who we are, and we're faced sometimes with an awareness that leads to maybe a choice we don't want. Here's what I mean. We have a spiritual encounter with God. And the Holy Spirit says something to us about, hey, you really need to be more generous, for example. You need to give more. You need to give more to your church. You need to give more to other people who really need stuff. There's this moment where it's like, oh man, I need to change how much I love money or possessions. And that reveals greed in our hearts. That reveals selfishness in our hearts. When somebody asks us to do something and we go, ugh, I don't really want to, the spiritual check is revealed, right? And we don't want to do it. And so we have this awakening moment. It's like, hey, God's at work. He just showed me something. but there's also this part of us that does not want what it costs. We want what he's offering. We want him, but we don't want what it costs. In psychology worlds, they call this approach avoidance. So like, I'm moving towards a relationship with God, but as soon as it starts to really hurt and cost me something, I'm like, nope. We'll even avoid reading our Bible because we know the truth is in there, and if we read it, we will feel convicted. Or we avoid going to church because we know if we go to church, then God's going to do something. And so we're comforted by work, God, knowing God's real and at work, but our own little kingdoms are threatened. Our dominion, our control over our lives is threatened when we encounter the living God, when we have that moment of spiritual awakening. And so we want God, we want a relationship. We say we want to be more spiritual, but when God looks at us and says, okay, now do this, we go, yeah, maybe I don't want it as bad as I thought, because our kingdom is threatened. That was the encounter the rich young ruler had with Jesus. He says, what must I do to be saved, Jesus? And Jesus names off several commandments. And the rich young ruler says, hey, I've done all those. Jesus says, great, now go sell everything you have and follow me. Because Jesus knew that wealth was more important to him than following him. And in the rest of that story, as we know, the rich young ruler, it says the rich young ruler walked away sad because he had great wealth. He wanted to follow Jesus until Jesus called him and revealed his heart, and he couldn't handle it. His kingdom was threatened, and he walked away. And lots of theology books have been written about how these spiritual awakenings work, but one thing that we know is true. They happen because of the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you've had one of those moments, whether it be the Great Awakening, where you wake up and go, hey, Jesus loves me, I'm gonna follow him, I'm a sinner in need of his salvation, all of those things, that moment, that time in your life where it's like, it's time to turn it around, or whether it's encounter after encounter after encounter, you can take comfort and assurance in the truth that God is at work in your life. Let's pray. Gracious God, we want you. We ask for you. We ask for you to be at work in our life and to make changes. And then sometimes we admit we don't like the changes. We're not going to be complicit. We're going to rebel because, ouch, that costs too much. Lord, I pray that you would help us to surrender. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be aware of where you are working our life. Remind us that it's a journey, that we're not there yet, that we're in process, and that more awakenings are in front of us. Shine the light of your gospel in every corner of our life. In Christ's name, amen.